Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita, I'm also Ron, and I'm Jean Marie today. Collectively, me and my two other personalities. Now, Jean and Ron are out of the network for today's show, but collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking with David Dodge. David is the case manager at Community Action of Orleans and Genesee in Orleans County in Batavia, New York. Now, that surprised me. I thought it would have been like down south, like New Orleans. Okay. He is also the vice president of the Genesee County Interagency Council and the secretary for Glow Out, an LGBTQ plus advocacy organization. Hooah. David assists individuals in any state in the U.S. with Social Security applications and questions. He is a certified benefits advisor through a Cornell University certificate program. David is joining us today to discuss Social Security disability benefits here in the United States. Thank you for joining our show, David.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You are a much sought after person, I'm telling you. Lots of people have questions about Social Security disability. In a nutshell, what are Social Security disability benefits and how do they differ from Social Security benefits that one can apply for once they meet a retirement age?
Good question. So, Social Security disability benefits are essentially different than those sought at retirement age, because obviously the ones sought at retirement age are for people that are retiring, whereas Social Security disability benefits are when someone can no longer work due to a disability, so they need to apply for Social Security benefits as a result of their disability.
Okay, and I'm gonna go off script automatically. Is there a set pay scale that these people will receive as a disability benefit, as opposed to when I retired, it was based on how many credits I had in the system and that type of thing as to how much my pay would be?
Well, it depends. There are two different types of Social Security disability programs. One of them is the set benefit rate that is not based on work history, because those individuals don't have enough work history. And the other Social Security disability program is based on work history. It's based on the number of work credits you have, and essentially it's based upon how much you've put in to the system.
Okay, and who determines which program you're going to be falling into?
It's literally based upon if you have enough work credits to qualify or not.
Okay, so
if you have enough work credits to qualify, you're going to get the insurance program. If you don't, you're going to get the lower program, that's the flat benefit rate.
Okay, all right. So let's say someone was born with a congenital condition that makes them unemployable from birth. They would be eligible for this set program once they're older?
So, yes, it's kind of interesting because you have to apply for that program as a child, and then you have to reapply. Well, your parents have to apply for you or your guardian.
Right.
And then you have to reapply for that program as an adult. So it's not like automatic. You kind of have to reprove under the adult standard that you still are disabled.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Moving back along with the script. What are the main types of Social Security benefits?
So we just alluded to it, but I'll explain it in more detail. So the first kind is called Supplemental Security Income, or SSI.
Okay.
That's the one that's not based on work history. It's for people with low income and low resources. And I kind of hate this term, but it is a good way for people to think about it. It's kind of like a federal welfare program.
Okay.
for people who can't work due to their disabilities. They don't have other types of income coming in. So that's what they would qualify for once they apply.
Okay.
The other one is called Social Security Disability Insurance, or SSDI.
Okay.
And that is what it sounds like. It's an insurance program that you pay into when you're working. And if you have enough work credits to qualify for that program, you will receive that if you apply and you meet the qualifications.
Okay. Now, I have a weird question. What if you get SSDI and 5 years down the line, medical miracle occurs and you don't need it anymore?
That is a great question. So you can, and it's a big myth that once you're on Social Security, you can't go back to work. That's a huge myth. And I know we're going to talk about myths later, but right. We can talk about it a little bit now. You can go back to work. You can actually go back to work and maintain Social Security benefits. Typically not at the same rate, but there's all sorts of work incentives to go back to work on Social Security because Social Security doesn't want you on what they call their rolls forever.
Okay.
You know, so if you can go back, that is very much encouraged. And there's all sorts of reasons why it's better to be working than only collecting Social Security. Sure. And I can explain that later.
Sure. Okay. All right. And then once you reach retirement age, do you get a different kind of Social Security at that point?
So technically, it's then called Social Security retirement, but it's literally the same thing. It just switches from the disability to retirement.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And what is the difference between Medicare and Medicaid? And are they part of the Social Security benefits?
Yes, they are. There are some big differences. And there's also a thought out there that you can't have Medicare and Medicaid. You actually can have both. And if you qualify for both, you should have both because you want as many insurance protections as you can get, especially if you have disabilities and are medically complex, which is generally the case.
Okay.
So the first program that we talked about, that SSI, that Supplemental Security Income, that is for folks that don't have enough work history, as long as you're getting $1 from that program, you automatically have Medicaid.
What? You automatically have Medicaid?
Correct.
Okay.
As soon as you are receiving those benefits, you automatically have Medicaid.
Okay.
SSDI, the insurance program, is the one that comes with Medicare. However, it comes with Medicare after 24 months of receiving those payments.
Okay.
And that type that it comes with is the Part B as in boy Medicare, which is like your doctors, your specialists, and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
It does automatically come with Part A from the start, which is hospital insurance. So if you're going into a hospital, you'll be covered, but you don't get the Part B as in boy until after being on it for 24 months.
Okay. How about medication? What
medication is a different part of the Medicare program. What we tend to do is we try and get people anything that we can, essentially. You can qualify for Medicaid while you're waiting for Medicare. And this is kind of another reason to speak with a specialist that knows about these things.
Okay.
So that you're not in the dark on different options that are there for you.
Okay. And now we're going to get onto those myths and misconceptions about Social Security. What myths and misconceptions are there? Well, you mentioned one that once you're on Medicare or once you're on Social Security disability, you can't go back to work, but you could.
Exactly. Yes, you can. And like I said, there are amazing work incentives to do so.
Okay.
So you're going to want to speak with a certified benefits advisor before you do anything relating to work activity, because that individual will be able to explain to you your different options as far as work incentives go and really help you navigate that process so you can you can see what the options look like. So that's a huge myth right there.
Okay.
Again, I mentioned the other myth that you can't have Medicare and Medicaid. Of course you can. Not everyone does, but you can technically be eligible for both.
Okay.
I think another myth is that it takes years and years to get Social Security disability. Sometimes that's true, but it's often true because people don't reach out to the proper type of resources. They don't follow up on the paperwork in a timely manner. And that tends to be what makes it take so long. It's really not the initial process itself.
Okay.
So I think that's another huge myth that's out there. Oh, this is going to take me years and years to get. Well, if you're not dealing with somebody that knows what they're doing and helping you, yeah, probably. But if you're working with someone who has been doing this for a while, you have a much better shot at receiving your benefits more quickly.
Okay. Well, we're going to walk through the process of applying later. So thank you for that. And how many people currently in the United States receive some form of Social Security benefit? And are more individuals receiving them as a direct result of the COVID pandemic and related medical disabilities?
Absolutely. So COVID has been probably the most mass disabling event in modern history, for sure. And the long COVID that has come with the original COVID-19 has really caused a notable increase in the number of Social Security applications that are being filed. And I think we're going to see that trend continue. It was really hard because at first there wasn't even a diagnosis code for long COVID. So how do you prove that you have long COVID when there's no code for it?
Okay.
So that was really hard at first. There is a code for it now. We're learning more and more all the time. So I do think it's getting a little bit easier, but this is definitely, you know, it's going to cause a reduction in the workforce. It's going to cause, as it already has, as we've seen, a reduction in the economy. So it is a big deal. And it's one of the reasons why I kind of started promoting certified benefits advisors more, because I wanted people to know that there is help out there, especially since these are people who never imagined that they would be applying for it.
Right, right. Yeah, we have discussed long COVID with some world-class athletes recently. And, you know, she was ready to be accepted into the Olympics as a swimmer, and got long COVID right at the beginning. She got COVID when it first hit the United States, and now she has long COVID and she's no longer a world-class athlete.
Right.
What does she do? So we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. Who is eligible for Social Security disability benefits?
You are eligible for Social Security disability benefits if you are a United States citizen with a Social Security number, who is medically disabled to the point where the disability is going to last for at least 12 months or result in your death, and you cannot perform what Social Security calls substantial gainful activity, or SGA, which essentially means at the time that you're applying, you can't work. Your disability is preventing you from working to the point that you cannot work essentially at all.
Okay. And then who proves that? How do you prove that that's true?
You prove that through the application process, through working with someone that understands the application process, and through providing medical and employment documentation that indicates that the disabilities are significant enough that they prevent you from working and substantially interfere with your activity of daily living.
Okay. I'm going to push this next question towards the end. It seems out of place. So could you walk us through the process of applying for Social Security disability benefits?
Yeah, I'll walk you through what I would consider the ideal process for applying for Social Security benefits, which is step one, you go to Google and you type in certified benefits advisors near me, and you put in your zip code. And what that'll do is it will bring up people like me who are near you that can help you out with that. Now, you can also come to me. I can do this in any of the 50 states, so I'm happy to work with you. But, you know, if you'd rather have someone that's down the street as opposed to someone who would do this with you over Zoom and so on and so forth, I get that. So Google it, find the people, talk to them, and start working with them right away.
Okay.
All right. Then what you're going to do is you're going to create an account on Social Security's website, and then you're going to go into that account and apply for Social Security disability benefits. Now, here's where there's a little bit of a deviation. Typically, if you're applying for SSI, you can't do the application online. There are some exceptions to that. Typically, for that one, you actually have to call and do an application with them over the phone. Wow. However, you still start with the application, you still start online, and that's because online it's going to tell you if you have enough work quarters for the other program. And also, even if you do go for the SSI and you have to do that over the phone, there's a kind of status section on there where you can see where you're at in the process. You always want to start there, no matter which program you think you may be eligible for.
Okay. All right.
So then you apply. It takes about 2 hours or so, maybe longer, maybe shorter, depending on your various conditions. You know, the application is very extensive. It asks for essentially your entire medical history, all your doctors, tests that you've had, surgeries, hospitalizations, medications, all of that stuff. And then you submit the application. After that, you're going to wait for a period of time while they're reviewing the application. And then they typically send you some more paperwork to fill out that's specifically related more in depth to your activities of daily living and your work history. It asks more specific questions. How do these disabilities affect you on a day-to-day basis?
Okay.
You know, your walking, your chores at home, things out of the house. How do your disabilities affect that? And then you, what are the type of things you did at work every day? What did you commonly do? What did you uncommonly do? And again, how are these disabilities impacting your ability to do those things now?
Okay.
After that, it's very typical that Social Security is going to send you to one of their doctors to do an exam on you.
They have doctors?
And you need to go to that,
again,
obviously, and work with them so that they can come up with something that is hopefully similar to what all of your doctors are saying.
Okay.
After that, you'll get a determination in the mail, and hopefully you're approved. If you're not approved, you can appeal the decision. And a lot of people are not very good at following through with that process, and they have to start all over again, which is another reason why you want to be linked with somebody that knows how to do this so that they can help you appeal. The other important thing to note is that every single thing with Social Security is time sensitive. You only have a certain number of days to get any paperwork in, to get an appeal filed, to provide more medical evidence. So it is critically important that you're working with someone that understands what these deadlines are, can keep you on task, explain to you what you need, so that you can get the best possible outcome.
Okay. All right. So you said that you would be seen by a Social Security doctor. Do they have, like, their own doctors, or do they just contract out to different doctors to try to have it a non-biased thing? I don't know how this works.
Essentially, they contract it out to, like, a separate doctor who mainly does Social Security disability stuff. They tend to be, like, perhaps retired doctors or... Because you got to imagine, most doctors out there don't have the time to
meet
with their patients and meet with all these Social Security disability but they are not employed by the Social Security Administration, but they provide their medical documentation to the Social Security Administration so that they can make a determination between what that doctor is saying and what all of your doctors are saying.
They're not paid by Social Security.
Correct.
Who pays them?
I believe it's paid through a private, grant funded, I believe. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting to know that they don't pay for it. Maybe they have to keep it honest, huh?
I would hope so.
Okay, all right. What challenges might a person face when applying for Social Security benefits, and how might a benefit advisor like yourself assist someone facing those obstacles in the process?
Well, yeah, we definitely talked about the first one, right, which is the timing. So right. a benefits advisor is going to know exactly what those deadlines are, is going to, you know, call you, email you, talk to you, keep you on task with those things. Another thing that's hard for people is, you know, if you're applying for this, you're probably very sick. You're not feeling well. You may not be thinking in the right frame of mind. So a benefits advisor can help you do things like send things to Social Security for you. You know, I can print things off, put it in an envelope, and send it for you so you don't have to do that.
Okay.
You know, writing you summaries of what you have already done so that when you're feeling better, you can look back and say, oh yeah, I've done this. This is what we've talked about. Those kinds of things. Another big obstacle is that this is not so much for the person per se, but a lot of medical providers don't give Social Security what they need, and that really hinders the process. So I tend to have people fill out releases for their medical providers so that I can contact them, explain to them what they need to do. I even get medical documentation if the client is willing from their medical sources and send it to Social Security as well. I mean, who cares if they get something twice? Better to get it twice than not at all. So things like that, having a partner with you that can help you through this extremely complicated process.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, now that we've discussed the basics, our listeners have a better understanding of the topic. This is an excellent time to remind everyone of our new endeavor to better serve our guests and listening audience. We are now working as an affiliate with a major medical supply warehouse in the United States. You'll be able to find affiliate links on our website and learn more about this in future episode. But now back to our show. David, what should someone look for when choosing a company advisor or attorney to assist them with their Social Security disability benefits application process? That's a mouthful. Who wrote that? I wouldn't have written all that. So let's say you're saying Google it to find somebody in your area if they don't want to reach out to you. But what does somebody look for if they need help?
Well, I do think word of mouth is an extremely good thing. If you know of some people that have gone through this process and they had a really positive experience with somebody, that is great. Go on their website and take a look. Does it look very much, you know, cookie cutter, or does it look like the place knows what they're doing? You know, reach out without committing to anything to a couple of different places. And then you can see a little bit better what exactly it is that you are trying to find. As far as red flags go, I get worried when people are making you sign things right away. I typically suggest that you find low-cost or no-cost assistance. A lot of these attorneys are going to take a portion of your Social Security benefits once you start receiving them. That is almost never necessary. You need somebody that is going to help you with the paperwork and understanding the process. Pretty rarely do you really need an attorney.
Okay.
And there are some exceptions to that. And I always let people know kind of what I think based upon their situation, if they need an attorney, because obviously I'm not one.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people think that's always necessary and that's always the way to win their case. And it typically is not.
Oh, okay. All right. What additional resources are available for those needing assistance filing for Social Security benefits?
I would say local offices for the aging tend to be very helpful. It centers for independent living tend to be very helpful. And often that's how I received my certification. I worked for a center for independent living and they paid for the training, and that's how I received it. So a lot of them have certified benefits advisors like me. You can also reach out to different national level disability organizations through the federal government. But mostly I do find the more local touch is helpful. You know, your local office for the aging and your local independent living center, and they're going to know your community and where you fit into it. They might be familiar with your employers, with your doctors, whereas, you know, some federal entity is obviously not going to be. So I tend to recommend local resources.
Okay. What advice do you have for someone just starting the Social Security application process?
Well, it's kind of obvious already, but what I've said, but I say it again and say it constantly, don't do this alone. You need to have someone that really knows what they're doing. Social Security is arguably the largest bureaucracy in the world. It's difficult to get on purpose. It's a ton of red tape. And if you don't have a lot of experience managing something like that, your success rate drastically goes down. I also recommend that you let your provider know that this is something that you're working on, it's something you're applying for, it's something that's important to you, and that it's important for them to provide Social Security with the information that they need. That can be pretty critical, because some people don't even tell their medical providers that they're applying for it, which is pretty critical.
Well, yeah, I would think, right?
You know?
Yeah. So. David, on a personal note, what led you to your career as a benefits advisor?
So I have a disability myself. I'm blind in my left eye, and I have a lot of good usable vision in my right eye with the aid of a contact lens. So I've been on Social Security disability before.
Okay.
I've gone through that process myself. So having experienced that made me want to make it easier for other people. So that's kind of why I got involved in the process.
Okay. Now, you know, I was thinking about this earlier when you said if a person isn't able to do their job, where did I write it? Well, anyway, let's say that, and it's a fact, I was a mechanic my whole life. And now I have injuries from aging, basically. And now I can't do my job as a mechanic anymore. Would Social Security say, well, don't be a mechanic. Go be something that's easier on you?
Great question. So what they have to do and why they have to ask so much about your work history is they have to look at what you've done, what your training is, and what your other skills and experience are. So if you've been trained as a mechanic, your experience as a mechanic, they can't really go tell you to go work in a factory or to go be a receptionist.
Okay.
Now, if you've been a receptionist in addition to a mechanic,
right,
and your illness, injuries, and conditions don't prevent you from being a receptionist, then yeah, they can say, hey, look, you can do this. And they actually will write in their decision, you know, it appears to us based upon yada yada that you are able to, for this number of hours per week, do this type of work And I have seen that happen before.
Okay.
So it all depends upon what your situation is. I also always, now I can never and would never tell someone not to apply for Social Security, but I always give people very honest feedback about, you know, based upon your situation, here's what I think is the likelihood of you getting it or you having to appeal or not having to appeal. So I always give people that information. But if somebody wants to apply for Social Security, we're applying.
Okay. So. All right. Yeah, because recently I talked to a friend of a friend who's a nurse, been a nurse her whole life. That's all she's ever done. And she got COVID in her nursing practice, right? And she applied for workman's comp based on the fact that she got COVID. Now she has long COVID, and they're not giving her the workman's comp, even though she got it at work. Now she should be eligible for Social Security, right?
I would think so. You could certainly have her reach out to me.
I'm going
Workers' comp is a whole different animal and not my area of expertise. Right. However, I have done some stuff with it, because if you are getting comp, you can get comp and Social Security. And how that income from comp impacts your Social Security is something I know a lot about.
Okay.
And it's very variable. Okay. So that part I kind of do have an understanding. But from my understanding, it is very hard. You have to, how do you do have to prove that you got it at work, which you would think would be easy for her, right?
Right. But then again, she could have gotten it at the grocery store like a half a million other people, right?
Got it at the grocery store. How do you prove it?
Right.
So that is kind of hard. But yeah, I would certainly be happy.
Yeah, I'm going to send her your way if she hasn't done it yet.
Okay. Social Security disability.
Yeah, great. If a person worked for the government, for instance, as a member of the military, are they eligible for Social Security benefits as well?
Yes, they are. So a lot of times military benefits are going to come first or potentially be better in some ways, but there are ways to get both. So yes, essentially yes, you can. Anyone that's a United States citizen / has a Social Security number can.
So if they made the income in the government, that doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay, good to know. All right. Anything else that you wanted to add? That was all my questions. Anything else that I missed that you think people need to know?
If you want help from me or you want to ask me a question, the easiest way to get a hold of me is my email, which is dbconsults2019@gmail.com. I'm also on TikTok at DavidDodge2020. And yeah, I'm just here as a resource to help. And I'd be happy to hear from any listener. And yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much, David. It was a pleasure speaking with you. I'm sorry that you ended up with COVID again last month, but at least we finally got together.
I'm glad we finally got to connect.
Yes, me too. And now we're going to wrap this episode up. And I guess I'm going to do all the rapping because I'm the only one here. This was a first for me. Don't forget to check out our new and improved website. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please remember that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. Till next week.